This morning we're going to read a passage from John chapter 9. And last week I started a series of messages that I'm calling Encounters with Jesus. And as we read the Gospels, we see how Jesus just met up with different people and had encounters with them. And so we're going to look at a number of them and over these next few weeks. And this morning we're focusing on a man who was blind from birth, and we see how Jesus reached out to him and healed him, but see how this whole story transpires. So listen then to God's word. As he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming and when no one can work. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Is this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see." "Where is the man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age, and he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "Told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now, that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." And so far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, I'm sure most of you know what a blind spot is. If you're driving your vehicle and you're relying just on your rear view mirror and your side mirrors to check the lane beside you, there's a spot on each side of your vehicle that you're not able to see. If you've taken driver's training, they will teach you to turn your head to check your blind spot before you make a lane change. I don't know about you, but I'll admit I've had a few occasions where I was ready to make a lane change only to notice at the last moment that there was another vehicle in my blind spot. And thankfully, I checked my blind spot so I didn't cause an accident, which I probably would have happened if I hadn't have checked my blind spot first. Now, our text from John 9 shows that it's possible to have both physical and spiritual blind spots in our lives. A person can be physically blind, like that of the blind man that Jesus encounters in our text, but it's also possible to be blind about what God is doing in our lives or what God is doing in the world around us. We can be blind to what Jesus wants us to do to change our lives, to be a light for him in this world. Now, the blind man in John 9, it says there that he suffered from a physical blindness his whole life. Due to his blindness, he had to sit and beg just to survive. And in our text, Jesus helps him to not only see physically again, but Jesus also enables him to see spiritually. Jesus enables him to see his life in a whole new perspective. And the story also shows how God turns on the light of faith in our lives if we are open to experience the light of God in our lives. Now, I suspect this young man, this blind man, probably had some occasions in his life where he must have thought, "What would it be like for me to see with my eyes like everyone else? How would my life be different if I would be able to see like other people?" And you know, we all have those moments in our lives. And so let me ask, how would your life be different if you were able to experience some dramatic change in your life that maybe you've been hoping for or praying for some time in your life? You might think, "I'd love for my marriage to be better. I'm not sure if I can see it, but I would love for that to happen. I'd love to have a change of career, to have a more fulfilling kind of job in my life. I'd love to go back to school, to go to college or university. I'd love some way to be able to grow in my faith in a fresh new way. I'd love to see my life used by God in some way. We all have things that we would like to be different in our lives. And we might pray to God to enable that kind of change to happen, but it's not always to see how exactly that might happen. And so this story with the blind man starts with the disciples raising a question. Who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, it helps here to realize that the prevailing view in Bible times at that time was that all sickness, all bodily infirmities, that was the result of a person's sin. So it either must have been this man's sin or his parents' sin that caused them to be born blind like this. Those things just didn't happen by itself. And sometimes we can fall into this same kind of thinking. And that especially happens when we encounter some tough times in our lives, where we maybe feel trapped in a miserable marriage or a serious illness or kids that grow astray. And then we wonder, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong to deserve this? And why doesn't God do something to change this miserable situation in my life? Jesus says in John 9, verse 3, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There's no cause-effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Now, it's true that sometimes we can do some really dumb things in our lives, and sometimes as a result of that, we can have some painful struggles in our lives. Sometimes it's just because of our own stupidity. Now, that's true. But there are also painful struggles that we experience in this life that are of no one person's fault. Some of the painful struggles that we experience in this life are simply the result of living in a broken and sinful world that we live in. And why one person suffers more than another person, I wish I could give you a good answer. But I can't do that. And so instead of looking for someone to blame, says Jesus, we need to look at what God can do for us or do through us in the midst of that difficult situation. In other words, if there's a job that you find difficult, begin to see the job that you struggle with as an opportunity to serve others who might have their own particular struggles in their lives. That we begin to see a struggling marriage as a place where God can give us the strength to carry on a day at a time, but that it's also a place where we can reach out to others who might also be struggling in their marriage. I'll admit that's something I had to learn for myself a few years ago when I lost my first wife and suddenly found myself being widowed. I went through a grief support group at that time, and as a result of that, I joined up with a few other widowed people, and we started a widowed support network where we could get together as widowed people to support each other and to encourage each other, and it was a wonderful way in which we could reach out to each other in that way. There will be times in our lives where God graciously changes the circumstances of our lives like that of the blind man in our text. But you know what? More often, we need to ask God how he wants to change us in the midst of our difficult circumstances. Where we ask God to help us to look at life's circumstances with different eyes, that we look at them with the eyes of faith. Where we look to depend on God to get us through life's challenges in a way that we could never do in our own strength. And we see that with a blind man who receives his sight in our text. Jesus healed his physical blindness, but even more so, Jesus was more concerned about his spiritual blindness. And we see that when this man begins to interact with other people around him who notice that he can now see for the first time. And the reaction to this man's healing is actually quite startling. I mean, you'd think that people would have been all excited for him. Wow, this man can see. Isn't that wonderful? But instead, there's confusion. There's confusion about whether this really is really was the blind man who used to sit there and beg. They found it difficult to believe how this man could be healed like that. And so the people around him just couldn't get past their blind spots that such a miracle could even happen. And sometimes we have the same thing happening in our lives where we experience negative people around us. Reconciliation in your marriage? It'll never happen. Applying for a top scholarship or a dream job? Don't get your hopes up. Forgiveness and freedom from the guilt of something that you regret doing in your life? Yeah, you don't even deserve that. There will always be doubters who have a bucket of cold water handy to douse the flames of faith that God is stirring within us. Now, the biggest doubters for the blind man in our text were some religious leaders called Pharisees. The Pharisees were religious leaders who tried to write off the fact that this miracle had happened in the first place. In their eyes, they couldn't look past the blind spot that Jesus had done this miracle on the wrong day of the week, that Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath. And so they say about Jesus in verse 16, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" In their minds, for Jesus to spit on the ground and to make a little bit of mud and then put it on the blind man's eyes, in their eyes, that was unnecessary work that was prohibited on the Sabbath. And it was their blind spots that kept them from putting their faith in Jesus. Now, the blind man who could now see didn't let such doubts deter his trust in Jesus. I love the response that he gives in verse 25. Now, whether he, that is Jesus, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. In other words, you can argue all you want about whether or not this was the right thing to do, but that doesn't change the fact that I can now see with my eyes for the very first time. All your explanations, all your threats to kick me out of the church won't change that reality one bit, that I was once blind, but that now I can see. Now, it would be easy for us to criticize these religious leaders for not being able to look past their blind spots about Jesus and for their harsh treatment of the man who had been healed of his blindness. You see, these religious leaders, the Pharisees, they had good intentions. They meant well, but they had their blinders on without even knowing it. And guess what? That's a very real danger for each one of us to have our blinders on at times in our lives. There are times where we might think that we are totally right about something and we think that another person is totally wrong, and meanwhile, we're overlooking the blind spots that hinder us from seeing God's perspective in a given situation. The Jewish religious leaders were a major stumbling block to this blind man's quest for true faith in Jesus. And so it's good to ask ourselves, how many times have we allowed our blind spots to become a stumbling block to other people within the church? Or even worse, to be a stumbling block to people outside the church when we've said things, when we've done things that we firmly believe in, but in the process, we end up hurting other people with our unloving attitudes. I know I've been at the brunt of that at some times in my life, even as a pastor. I've had situations where people have come to me, where people have said things that were anything but kind, where they just came in and they just were ready to nail me as a pastor. And, you know, it wasn't easy dealing with that. And yet, as I look at my own life, I now realize that I've also had situations where I've said things, where I've done things that weren't all that helpful for the people that I was dealing with at the time, that I really didn't help these people see Jesus through me. We all have our blind spots at times. We all have blind spots that sometimes can cause offense to other people, whether we realize it or not. Now, drivers who, on the road, we soon learn to check our blind spots before changing lanes on the highway. But when it comes to our spiritual blind spots, it makes all the difference between those who know to those who acknowledge they have their own blind spots and those who refuse to acknowledge them. Jesus shows that with the people that he encounters in our text. There's the blind man who gains his sight not only physically but also spiritually. And then there's those religious leaders who think that they are seeing clearly but don't realize their own blindness. And whether we realize it or not, we're all susceptible to not seeing things from God's perspective in our lives. Sometimes we don't notice how our behavior, no matter how well-intentioned, can affect other people in negative ways. None of us are immune to this kind of blindness. As the Bible says in 1 John 1, verse 8 and 9, if we claim we're free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is arrant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, he'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. If we claim that we've never sinned, that only shows off our ignorance of God. And so the key here is our willingness to acknowledge our blindness. That we humbly ask God to not only show the spiritual blindness that we have in our lives, but that we ask God to remove the blinders that get in the way of us trusting in God, not only to forgive us, but that we trust in God to help us to treat other people with the kindness and the respect that we would like from other people to show to us. If we fail to acknowledge our spiritual blindness, we limit the ability of Jesus to give us the spiritual insight that we need to serve his purposes in this world. And that's exactly what happened with the religious leaders. Their spiritual blindness kept them from accepting Jesus for who he was as the Son of God in human flesh. It kept them from recognizing Jesus as the Savior of this world. And it was all because of their pride and their self-righteous attitude in the first place. And meanwhile, the man that Jesus healed from his blindness comes to see Jesus for who he really was, as the Son of God in human flesh, as the promised Messiah, as the Savior of this world. He's able to look past the objections and the critical spirit of those around him, for those who refuse to recognize Jesus for who he was as a Savior. And the blind man embraces Jesus as Savior. He embraces Jesus as the one who alone could cure him of his spiritual blindness. And we see that in verse 35, the way he responds to Jesus' question, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he responds with these words in verse 38, Lord, I believe. And he worships Jesus for who he is as the Savior of this world. And you know, Jesus still looks for that kind of response today. As Jesus says in verse 39, I have come into the world to give sight to those who are spiritually blind. And so what that means is we need to be humble enough to admit that we might even have some spiritual blind spots in our lives. As Jesus says in John 12, verse 46, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in darkness. And that's what Jesus wants for each one of our lives. Jesus wants to turn on the light switch of our hearts and our minds so that we embrace Jesus as the one who not only brings light into this world, but as the one who brings light into our lives. That we recognize Jesus as the one who lights the path into God's way of truth and salvation. That we recognize Jesus as the one who only can set us free from our sin. Now, Jesus did that for the man who was healed from his blindness. But Jesus wants to do that for each one of us. Jesus wants each one of us to experience him in a fresh new way as the Savior of our lives. And once we recognize Jesus for who he really is, then something amazing happens. Then he enables us to see other people just as Jesus would see them. That we see people who need Jesus as much as we do. That we see people around us as people who need Jesus as Savior. That people around us need to see Jesus as the light of this world in the midst of the darkness around us. And how will that happen? Jesus calls us to be his people of light in this world. Jesus calls us to be instruments of love and hope and truth for those who struggle to find hope and meaning within a broken and hurting world. Now you might think to yourself, he wants me to be a light for him in this world? I don't know about that. I don't have all the answers and I'm far from perfect. That might be true. But even the smallest flicker of a candle in a dark room can make a real difference. And Jesus says, you are that light when you put your trust in me. When you allow my Holy Spirit to lead you and to mold you and to shape you to be a light that changes the small corner of the world where God has placed you. As Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16, you are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light, says Jesus. Let it shine for all. And you will be that light when you share the hope that God has given you, when you share that with people around you. And especially when you experience some difficult circumstances in your lives, we can be a light for Jesus when we speak to others about how God enables us to live on in the midst of those difficulties with the strength that he gives us. We can be that light when we treat others with the same kind of love, the same kind of grace that Jesus has shown to us in the first place. So may God enable us to be his light like that in this world today. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the way that you have revealed yourself to us as the light of the world. That you came to reveal the truth about yourself and that you came to reveal the truth about ourselves. We thank you especially for the way that you show the truth about the blind spots that we sometimes have in our lives. Help us through your Holy Spirit to remove those blinders, where we sometimes treat other people in ways that are not in tune with your way of truth and grace. Lord, you call us to be a light for you in this world. You call us to point others to you as the Savior. And we admit that we can't do that in our own strength. We can't do that by our own wisdom. We can only do that through your Holy Spirit's leading. And so, Lord God, we pray that you will show us where and how we can be used to bring hope and meaning into the lives of people around us, that we can be like Jesus to people. Help us to look to your word for guidance. Help us to allow your Holy Spirit to direct us and to refresh us and to renew us in a fresh new way. And Lord God, we pray that you will just help us to be attentive to the needs of people around us, that we may slow down the pace of our lives and allow ourselves to enter into relationships with people so that through that we can show your way of truth and love and grace to other people as you have already shown to us in Jesus. In his name we pray this. Amen.